This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. My name is Doug Cunnington, and today Carl is out. He's doing some product testing on site with a potential sponsor for the show. I don't think I told you or you about this, but I'm pretty sure they want to create a signature product with his likeness, and it's the 1500 days bidet is what I'm told. So a lot of product testing, and he's out on site, but Dusty Young is sitting in with me today. And Elizabeth, my wife, is joining us too. They've been retired for about 2 months, and they're going to share their top tips of what they've learned. And basically, it's the advice they wish they had leading up to maybe the, 2 years, 1 year up until their retirement. So we're going to divide this into a couple different sections. One, we'll hear about how each of them reached their sort of Phi number where they were comfortable to retire. And then we'll get into these tips and not tricks, but just suggestions for people that are approaching retirement. So Dusty, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
How's it going? Thank you. It's good. How are you?
Amazing. It's a really good day today. Elizabeth, how about you? What's going on?
I'm having a great day. Every day is a great day now that I have ditched my 9 to 5.
And you joined us back on episode 212, and it was just days into your retirement. And luckily, things are still holding up here at the house. Everything's fine. Each day is better than the last.
That was always true, being married to you, Doug.
All right. Don't turn this to a podcast of lies. No, it's great. Everything's great. So we should get into some of those details. So Dusty, why don't you open it up? How did you invest? What does your sort of maybe cash flow or assets look like? And feel free to share just so people get a picture of what your retirement looks like.
Yeah. So my path to retirement, I feel like I'm not completely retired because I still manage Airbnbs and I have rental properties that I manage. And I got here through real estate. So essentially, I don't have a 9 to 5 anymore. And that's because I worked a 9 to 5 for almost 20 years, saved, maxed out my retirement and also my HSA, which is another wonderful vehicle for investing. And I bought real estate properties, and those real estate properties are producing some cash flow enough for me to live on. And I Airbnb the upstairs of my house, which covers my housing costs.
And how long ago did you get into the real estate portion of your assets?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually got into it in 2018. I bought 2 duplexes on the same day, and then I bought a 4-unit about a year later.
Okay. So pretty fast. And did you have a background in real estate before that at all?
No, I worked in the financial wellness space. So I taught classes on budgeting, money management, credit. I did a lot of debt counseling, one-on-one debt counseling. And I learned a lot about money at that time. I have mentioned in other arenas that I made all the mistakes you can possibly make. So I'm really good at learning from my mistakes and trying to do things differently.
What about you, Elizabeth? How did you reach your retirement goals?
Doug never speaks to me with this much attention and respect. It's a it's a nice change.
It's more like, hey, you.
I'm just kidding. Doug and I have been together for about 15 years. So since we've been together, and for me personally before then, just sort of always lived below my means, was a saver, grew up being a saver, did the things like Dusty talked about with 401k and sometimes HSA, sometimes not, but more having like a savings mindset, didn't increase expenses as earnings went up. And I think, I don't know, several years ago or however many ago years ago, Doug and I sort of looked at our portfolios together and we're like, hey, like this is interesting. You know, maybe if we, continue this trend and focus up, we might be able to do something in the future. And I don't know, maybe that was about a decade ago. And we stopped contributing to our 401ks when we lost company matches to make sure we had some liquidity if we were able to retire well before we could access our 401ks. Does that sound about right?
And we basically retired in, or sorry, we basically invested in post-tax brokerage accounts, index funds, pretty standard stuff. And 4% rule was kind of the guide to get us in the right ballpark. And people can refer to episode 212 to get more details where we actually, I think we're a little bit more conservative than a 4% rule, but it gives us a whole lot of flexibility and comfort where you were comfortable to stop working.
Yeah. And I think we still lived the life we wanted to lead. We didn't, like, we weren't extreme expense controllers. So we weren't, you know, living off of 15 grand a year or whatever. Like, we still sort of, you know, spent money.
We did whatever we wanted, yeah, basically.
We both kind of had like crappy first homes that were relatively inexpensive that we lived in for a very long time, and we never got fancy cars. And, you know, we took trips that we liked, but, you know, probably not super expensive trips. And
not overly frugal. And
yeah,
we took trips, we did the normal stuff, but the big ones, right? It's like housing and transportation and food. And housing and transportation, like, we basically locked in 15 years ago and didn't, unless we had to, like, move, we didn't really upgrade in a huge way. So, all right. Any follow-up questions to each other, ladies?
I did not realize that you, I know Dusty fairly well. I didn't realize that you got your rentals in 2018. I thought it was much longer term than that.
Yeah. Nope.
Wow.
I couldn't afford to get them until then. When I started at GreenPath, I was only making $36,000 a year. And that's what I made up until about 2016, like, just very small incremental raises. And then in 2016, I took a new position and actually had bonuses and had done a few other things to save up some money.
Oh, that's, I thought that was much longer term. So I think that's even more impressive, like, that it's been only 6 years.
Yeah. Gone fast.
And then, like, within, what, 2 years, basically, you have, like, 3-4 properties or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, great. So we'll get into the tips now. So we'll kick it off with you, Dusty. Do you want to let us know advice that you would give people that are approaching retirement in the next 1 to 2 years or so?
I would say it's really important to know where you want to go, but be flexible with the approach. Because this can look however you want it to look, and that can change. And I think sometimes we get in our head that, oh no, I have to do it this certain way, and it has to be like this. But maybe it does become a sabbatical, or maybe you start working part-time because you find that you want to do more, you want to experience more, and you want that income coming in for the stability, or you need a stepping stone before you can finally call it quits. So yes, you know where you're going. Be flexible on the approach and be open to the experience.
Can you think of any specific examples where you've seen people be a little too rigid?
Well, I think Carl is a great example, right? Where he got so fixated on this 1500 days and being done. And that was his mindset. And he kind of wrapped his identity around who he was going to be. And we see that a lot, where you wrap your identity around being frugal, or you wrap your identity around, oh, I'm going to retire at this time. And even now, like, if you tell people, I'm going to stop working in my 40s or my 30s, for someone that works until they're 65, no, like, you work until you're 65. This is just what you do. And that is a very rigid approach. It doesn't have to look like that. Like, you can do whatever you want to do, and you will most likely figure it out. And I've heard Carl talk about this a lot on the podcast. It really hits home for me. But I believe him when he says, you know, I wish I would have done it differently. I wish I would have thought about it a little more. I wish I hadn't been so fixated on things. And I love that he recognizes that and he's sharing that. And I think the more that we can hear it, the more it's like, oh yeah, this doesn't have to be one way or the other. And you have to do it. I guess this is kind of my second tip. Sorry, Elizabeth. But my second tip is to do it in your own time. Because I know when I first moved to Longmont, I had a friend who thought I was in a position to retire and was really pressuring me to be done. And I wasn't there. I wasn't ready. It wasn't what felt good for me. And I'm still not sure, like Elizabeth and I have this conversation a lot, like I'm not sure I'm ready to be done working. I don't know if that's where I'm at. I flip-flop back and forth. I'm in my head a lot about the whole thing. I see how much things can change. And if I had done this 2 years ago, I don't think I wasn't ready. Like I wasn't in that mindset. And I don't think that someone else can make the decision for you. And in some ways they can, right? You might get laid off. You might have something happen where you lose your job. You might get a crappy boss where you're like, F it. Like this FU money is coming in handy right now. And you might feel like you're not leaving on your terms. And also if you are doing it to appease someone else, you're not going to feel good about it. Sorry, that was a lot of rambling.
No, that was, I'm like crossing things off my list, but I didn't have on my list, nobody can decide it for you and like make your own decision. I had a very similar experience, like perhaps with someone I lived with who was very pressuring to.
Kept dropping subtle hints.
Yeah. And like the jerk was just trying to prioritize my happiness. But that's Doug, for those of you who don't know. But yeah, you have to do it in your own time and exactly the same. If I would have done this a couple years ago, I don't think it would have turned out as well. Taking the money out of it, like maybe we had enough money, maybe we didn't, but I wasn't ready. Yeah, don't feel pressured if you can avoid it and do things on your own schedule.
Question to both of you, but Elizabeth, you can start it off. Sure. How did you get ready, right? Because like, it's hard if you've worked for 20 years or even 10 or 5 or whatever, like your identity could be really baked into like your job or the community around your job or something else. So how did you actually get ready? So, because it's been pretty good transition, I think.
I think it has been. I've been surprised. So I was able to step back my hours at work. So I was full time and then I went to 4 days a week to 3 days a week. And that was actually harder than I thought it would be. Cutting down and having the extra time. I remember sitting and like one day where I had nothing to do and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And it was a little unmooring. So cutting down my hours helped me. The other thing that was really big for us was to get a financial advisor, which is right for us. It might not be right for everyone, but I needed a sort of unbiased third party to check us over and sort of bless our plan and bless what we were thinking about. You know, I like our financial advisor a lot right now, but I don't know him that well. Like I've put a lot of faith in this man's assessment, but for whatever reason, it really did help to have someone be able to run maybe some more sophisticated models and to say that you're going to be okay. And then lastly, and like this is one of Doug and I's maybe a little bit of headbutts, I padded our budget a little bit, you know? So like I have like little like secret padding places in our budget where
I no secret. I mean, I was like, come on, what are we doing? This is not even accurate.
You think you know all of them. You don't.
She hides.
Yeah. But I also,
Liberty puzzles.
Yeah. I felt this is a Liberty puzzle fund.
Like, let's say we actually spend $40,000 a year. If I had given our financial advisor $40,000 a year as our like projected expenses, I don't think I would have felt as good about that. And so instead, maybe we gave them $50,000. And then even with that little extra padding, if he's like, yes, this should be fine, like that helped me to feel better and be ready. Yeah.
I don't know if I am ready, but I would agree with Elizabeth and I would say, having a third party look at your financial situation, it made a huge difference. So I went through my financials with the smartest person that I know, and he put together amazing spreadsheets. And every time I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be freaking out, I would send him a text message and I'd be like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And except for one scenario, he was like, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And he reminded me that I could either reduce my spending or increase my income if I was going in the wrong direction. And I remind myself of that. Like I screenshotted that text message and I look at it when I'm freaking out. I think it's really helpful to have a plan, because then you do feel better. You know that you're kind of setting yourself up for success. And yeah, that third party or that extra set of eyes has been really, really helpful.
I want to go back to Dusty's first tip, which was be flexible, and just give an alternate perspective on that. Flexible but rigid. And what I mean by that is give yourself time. It's a big, big decision and it's scary. I'm still scared, but I have sort of told myself I'm not getting a part-time job. I'm not making any big financial decisions or getting a full-time job, at least through the end of the year. And I sort of made that deal with myself, like, even if the market were to tank, I'm like, no, like, you are going to sit with this and you are going to ride it out. And if you have the flexibility to do that, I think for me, it would be very easy if the market tanked to like knee jerk and to just be like, I got to go start looking for a job. And I've even seen a couple postings that I thought were interesting, and I've had to just walk away and be like, you told yourself you're not going to do this. So that has worked for me. I don't know. What do you think, Doug? Flexible or rigid? Pick a side.
Hold on. Why are you even seeing job listings? Like, how is that coming across your eyes?
Well, oh, there was some really cool...
Pass. No, there was a really cool, like, a robotic company that was starting up in this town. Like, it was some sort of, like, automated robotic, and they were going to open a new business, and it was like a headline, and then I clicked and I was like, well, I wonder what they're hiring, and I went and looked. Okay. And then I
got it.
You know,
that
what
makes sense.
I keep a toe in.
Well, they'll find you on the podcast and they'll be like, ah, she talks to this guy. We're not gonna hire her.
Sorry.
Let that lead into my next tip. Surround yourself with amazing people, because I have also been flip-flopping. And if I didn't have people like Elizabeth to bounce these things off of, I would easily knee-jerk, right? Like, I would absolutely be like, hey, I think I'm going to go back to work. And, you know, her idea of like, I mean, we bounce ideas back and forth all the time. And she's like, I don't think you should make a decision right away. And I was like, yeah, that's good. I'm not going to make a decision right away, because it is so easy to just jump back in. And when you surround yourself with people that are supportive, that care for you, that want to go out and do things that fill you up, it makes it easier to make these decisions, because you wonder how you ever had enough time to work a full-time job and live this like just incredible life. You just don't know how you were able to do it. And people are very supportive. And if you don't have them in your community, then I would say look online, look at the podcasts, get on Facebook groups, you know, do these things to find people who are just going to be your biggest cheerleaders and supporters and truth tellers, and that are going to, you know, just remind you of what's really going on, so that you don't end up with, oh, one more year. Or I think I need to do this, or I think I need to do that. Instead, you have people that will actually speak truth to you when you need to hear it, and also just be your biggest fans, which is pretty incredible.
Some of my advice is based in selfishness, because I just want to have Dusty accessible 24/7, to be fair.
I'm going to go back to a point, which you can correct me, but basically you were like, hey, you shouldn't take the decision lightly, really prepare, and like part, like for you that works, right? For some people, they do take the decision more lightly, maybe people that don't worry as much, and they're like, hey, I'm not going to run out of money for 30 plus years or something like that, and I'll have like a 20-year like view of this to see that I'm off target. And they're just flexible. So flexible with rigidity.
I think it's like, I know who you are.
Know thyself.
Know thyself. Sure. Yeah. So that's my big tip. Know thyself. But I knew who I was, and I am, will be. And I knew what I needed to do to get to where I needed to be. And I got there. This is most of Doug and I's marriage. Just ridiculous giggles.
It's like you've talked yourself in a circle.
But it was, yeah. Okay.
It's I'm like done. A Dr. Seuss type. I'm done. So that was actually a pretty good tip.
Thanks.
Great. Any response to that, Dusty?
I agree with her. Like, I think you have to know yourself and you have to do what's best for you. And it's okay. You don't have to force your beliefs on her.
Whoa. Thank you, Dusty.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a dry one. Maybe dry. We can get real serious again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I came from a healthcare background. I've worked in healthcare my whole career. So it was a big focus for me. So definitely prepare for your healthcare needs in advance. Understand how much it's going to cost. Get your prescriptions filled before you leave. You know, anything you can do to make it easier on you. We just signed up for our health insurance through the marketplace. And even though I knew it would take some time, it took longer than I thought it would. And I do have a maintenance med that I take. And I had 90 days queued up. But by the time I'm going to have my first primary care appointment, it'll still be, I think, like, you know, 30 days before it runs out. And I could always call my old doctor and probably get it filled. But like, why give yourself that sort of stress? So however long you think healthcare is going to take to get all lined up, it's probably going to take longer.
And for like real numbers, how long did it take from like when you signed up until like we got our cards or even got a bill? Because they kind of fucked this up, which is not surprising since it's healthcare, right?
I'm shocked. Yeah.
They wouldn't even take our money.
It was almost 20 days, and I thought I'd given us plenty of lead time.
Okay, 20 business days or 20?
20 calendar days.
Calendar days.
Okay. 20 calendar days. So over 2 weeks.
Okay. And like, in reality, like, they didn't send us the bill. There was no acknowledgement. Yeah. They didn't send you an email, right? Like, there was no actual contact. You had to call in, and they were like, you owe money tomorrow.
Right? Yeah, I got a phone call. Which, of course, I screened because I didn't have the number in my phone. And then I had to call back. And it's fine. It's going to be fine. But it was not, even knowing it was going to be difficult, it was even a little bit more difficult than I thought. And let alone, you know, the cost of, it's a significant line item in our budget. Mm-hmm.
Can you share how much we're paying? For the two of us in our mid-40s.
Sure. So we signed up for an HSA, like I think the cheapest HSA plan on the market. And it's $780 a month for the two of us. And that's basically just to have more or less catastrophic coverage. I think we still have like $6,500 deductibles and like maybe $15,000 calendar maximums. So, you know. Plan to be healthy.
Yeah, that's significant.
Yeah, but you know, that was something that that was one of the reasons I worked for as long as I did, I would say. Being uncomfortable about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we go to the next one, we do have a sponsor today, and that is Ghostbed. And one thing that I guess Elizabeth didn't realize is apparently I have night terrors. I know that sometimes I would like sort of yelp at night. I think that's a good way to describe it. I can recreate it in a minute, but, it's weird. Do you have bad dreams at all, Dusty?
I talk in my sleep.
Oh,
ask Carla.
Really?
I talk in my sleep?
Do you remember it?
Just conversational, like,
you know, just. I was sleeping next to our friend, and when we woke up in the morning, she was like, "You really talked a lot last night." I was like, "I really hope I didn't share too much." Don't tell me your darkest secrets. I might repeat them in the middle of the night without knowing.
Oh, man.
But no yelping.
No yelping. Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, I don't do it too often, and it hasn't been in a while, but I would say like every 2 months, every 3 months or something like that.
I can tell you're really scared. Like, I'm kind of laughing, making the noise, but it's not a good noise. Like, I can tell it's upsetting.
In distress. And so here's what happens. And we just watched a show where they reference night terrors. By the way, I was never in a ghost bed product or near one when I had my night terrors. Ghost bed is not associated with the supernatural or night terrors or bad dreams at all. It's they're great beds.
Unless they want to be associated with it.
Yeah, around like Halloween or something. Like maybe they do something different. But the point is, I know they're bad dreams, and it's essentially like paralysis in the dream, right? Like when you're dreaming or sleeping, like you can't really move too much and something bad is happening. I usually don't remember so much, but let's say I need to like yell at someone and like, "Hey, stop the conveyor belt. All the chocolates are going by," or something. And I keep trying to try to yell at them. I keep trying to yell at them, but like no words are coming out of my mouth. And I keep trying to yell, and eventually I'm able to summon up the willpower, and I make a noise like that.
That's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds, super masculine. It sounds ridiculous, right? I mean, and you're like,
you sound. I can tell you're really upset.
Yeah, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I didn't use all the onions in the refrigerator, and I'm having a bad dream about that, or something like that. I don't know. So anyway, not associated with ghost bed products at all, but yeah. Do you have any talking, or you don't have, like, you don't snore, you just lay there quiet, huh?
I'm a sleep laugher. We forgot, remember?
Oh, you do laugh.
I'm a sleep laugher.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you like torturing him and then you're laughing about it while he yelps? Yeah.
It's like an Inception dream.
Like, I think back when I was still like really stressed about work, we would joke that I'm like happier when I'm sleeping because I would just start laughing in the middle of the night.
Awesome. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's our ghost bed ad. One cool thing, they have the...
Was this requested by them?
No, they kind of let us run okay. loose. So they have the Split King... They have the Split King where it goes up and down. It's big and people could have different types of mattresses, but they have a full range of products, mattresses. They have RV mattresses. They have the bed frames. They have the bedding, pillows, all this stuff. And you could save 50% if you go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi. And they have a 101 night at home sleep trial. So you could check it out without any risk to you.
Not guaranteed to reduce night terrors, but perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't do a study on it, but I haven't had any night terrors when I've been around a ghost bed product. Okay. Next, Dusty, I think you're up. Do you have another big one?
Write it down or figure out some way to keep track of these things, because you're probably going to forget 80% of all of this. Like, everything ends up working out. But it feels better and it works out more efficiently if you have a list and you're writing down that list. And then you're also writing down, and we talked about this in a previous episode that we recorded, but you're going to be trying out a lot of new things. So I think it's really helpful to write down how you're feeling about those things, what feels good, what doesn't feel good, so that you can reflect and say, I want to do more of this or I want to do less of this. And I know from day to day, I'm not going back and really reflecting on those things. So writing it down has helped me to do that.
Do you have a specific like format that you use, or rating system, or what, or do you just free journal?
So I'm trying out Notion. I do a ton with just free journaling. Like, I have a journal behind me in my bag. I love to journal. I learned the term urge surfing recently, where when you have an urge to do something, you write down the time and kind of what you're feeling. But for these other things, I like using a journal and I like using Notion. So a lot of times I'll transfer things into Notion because that way you can have lists. You can have lists that attach to each other. You can look for patterns and the computer will do it for you. So you don't have to, you're just like, oh yeah, this is what it is. And then I'll use like a similar list of questions to rate everything so that it's at least like the same system and not all over the place.
Is Notion like overkill? I've never used Notion before, but is it overkill for what most people might be trying to do?
No, Notion is like an Evernote, or I'm trying to think other ones that are like that.
How about like the Notes app on an iPhone?
Yeah, very similar.
Okay.
But it has expanded capabilities. So if you do want to use it to link different things or be more intricate about it, it's really great for that.
Got it. Okay.
I'm going to once again take Dusty's advice and put a little bit of a spin on it. I'm not much of a journaler, but I started journaling as well, which has been helpful for me. And I'm doing the 5-year one sentence journal. And I'm using a little bit right now to be like, how was today? You know, what was good, what was bad? But I also think I'm going to enjoy it in the future to be able to look back at that time period. Because I'm so in it right now that I think I'm forgetting a lot. And another shout out to Dusty. She made me a calendar. So as I'm doing fun things, I'm also writing it on my calendar. So again, once I get out of this, not that I want to get out of it, but I'm still in the honeymoon phase and I think things are going really fast. So at the end of, you know, the year or the quarter or whatever, I'll be able to go back and like flip on this calendar and be like, oh my gosh, look how much fun I had. Yeah.
With the 5-year journal, how is that set up so people can understand the format and like how much you write each day in there?
Who did we learn about this from? What book was it? Happiness Project?
Yeah. And I think maybe our friend Steph.
It's just so... each page has one day on it and there's 5 slots. So June, I'm like, what is today? June 5th, 2024, you'll write just like, it's like a sentence or two about your day or I guess whatever you want to write. And then right below that will be June 5th, 2025, June 5th, 2026. So you can see, you know, what you did every day for the past 5 years. And our friend actually, how I got interested in it is she said she had noticed some patterns in her life when she could look back and see it over the course of years. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, I don't know what her pattern was, but for me, perhaps it'd be like, oh man, I'm always sad in the winter or something like that. Like, I always eat too much around Thanksgiving, which you shouldn't need to journal to know that, but maybe you do if you're me. So I've been enjoying that a lot.
Have you heard of that kind of journal?
Yeah. I think the 5-year journal is great. I do like that it gives you the different spots. The bullet journal is great. There's so many options. But I do think if you write it down, then you have something to look back and reflect on and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I miss this. I love this. Like, I remember when we did this.
I should do that again. Yeah. Yeah.
And Google Photos is great for that too. Like, I just had memories from last year pop up where we had gotten our nails done and done yoga on the rocks. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should do more of this.
Dusty and I are both paid hand models, paid in cookies. So, which is the perfect currency.
Yeah. That's real, right? Yes.
Yeah. That's not, yeah. I mean, it is a joke. It's real.
It's a real joke.
It's a real joke.
So where can people see your hands?
Leckerly.com. Our friend has a cookie business and she had a party scene. Mm-hmm. So we all got our nails done. So they didn't, you know, so they would do the cookies justice.
They're good cookies. They're delicious cookies.
Galletas. All right.
I lost track on whose turn it is here because I think you're doing well going back and forth.
So this one's maybe a little bit more lighthearted. take a trip. And the reason I think that was a really good thing for me was I quit my job and then we went on a trip. We went to see the eclipse, actually, a week after that. And I think I'm an anxious person, and I think I would have had more of an opportunity to sort of spiral a little bit and be like, what have I done? Like, is this okay if I was in my home environment and just not working? So getting us out of our routine really helped me to I don't know, ease my way into it a little bit and adjust.
I definitely agree. And you had a few days to decompress a little bit. We actually recorded episode 212 in that sort of downtime, but then we were immediately on the road and like getting ready for hitting the road and all that stuff. And I think like just getting out of your normal environment.
Yeah.
And I think it probably could help a lot of people too, where it's just like, it snaps you out of your routine and forces you to like just be in new places. So,
and we did the trip and I had no work laptop with me. Like, so that was really interesting.
What about you, Dusty? Did you do anything immediately after?
I sure did.
Do you want to tell us a little about, as much as it's a whole other conversation, but yeah, just high level.
Yeah. So high level, I also took a trip and my 2-week trip to Europe ended up being a 5-week or so trip to Europe. And I would say that this actually leads to another really wonderful tip is build your systems and build your processes, because you might have a time that you aren't able to attend everything and you need to reach out to your tribe and say, hey, could you go do this or could you do this? Because I was out of town much longer than I expected and things were happening at my Airbnb that needed to be attended to, at my rentals, and everything else seemed like it was running pretty smoothly, but there were definitely things that with the mindset I was in that I forgot. So I was grateful that my neighbor mowed my grass, because when I left, it was still snowing here. And when I came back, I was like, oh, there's 2 feet of grass. Whoops. But my neighbor took care of everything. So I just felt really grateful for that. And I do agree, like, I think when you get out of your environment, it's something exciting to look forward to, which is fun. It kind of like bookends things and then you think, oh, I have this amazing thing and I'm so excited about it. And it was this incredible, exciting trip. And I ended up being gone a little bit longer than I thought. So, you know, kind of two-sided where, yes, book that trip, take the trip. It's going to be amazing. And just make sure that you have a system for regular maintenance at home in case anything goes wrong.
I think this is a really actionable one, because if people are like leading up to the retirement and they just have like a void, then it could be a little stressful, because there's a lot of hours in the day. And if you're just sitting around, I've heard a lot of people run into depression, or they fall into, I'm not a video game person, but they'll fall into gaming or something that's like really all time consuming, could be social media or whatever. And then you're not really like using your time very well, in my opinion. I don't do either of those things, so it's easy for me to make fun of them. But planning a trip, very clear. Most of us want to travel because there's the novelty aspect of it. And I'm curious, do you, either of you, have other suggestions where it's just like, hey, here's some really cool stuff to plan. Why don't you go?
So I'm thinking, you know, number one, make a list. So just Elizabeth and I did this together. We created a Google Doc and we made a list and we put different categories on the list. And what's great about that list is that it's just a brain dump of everything that I might want to do. Not saying I have to do it, not saying I'm going to do it tomorrow, but it is this literal brain dump of every festival in Colorado, places I want to travel to, trails I want to hike, classes I want to take, musical instruments I want to learn, you know, books that I want to read, like everything. You can put anything on that list. And we just kind of bounced back and forth. And if you do it with someone, then you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah. What about this category? And that list gets longer and longer. And then I think you need to take it one step further, which I have not done a great job of yet. And so if you check in with me, please ask me how I'm doing with this. Use the list. like actually use the list. And one of the things that, as Elizabeth was talking about her calendar, I was thinking, gosh, I need to go in and just like assign how much time it would take to do these things so that I know when I'm looking at my day tomorrow, hey, I've got 4 hours. Let me look at the list. This is a 4-hour thing. I don't need a reservation. I don't need a ticket. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this. And I'm a big fan of sticky notes. So I will probably put them on sticky notes and put them on my wall so that I can keep track of things and have something to look forward to. But I think having that list is just fun and exciting, and you can keep adding to it. For me, it has to be visible. So I really need to like put it on a wall or something so I can see it. And then using the list, so like pairing it with a calendar, pairing it with how much time it's going to take, and then picking those things so that you're not just being complacent and like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Well, I have a million options.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Do you have another like really actionable thing? So plan a trip, make a list. What else?
So that's the fun list, but I also have the non-fun list of to-dos, which I actually really enjoy. It reminds me of the Office episode where Michael Scott is spiraling and Jenna Fisher's like, let's make a list. And then she's like, look, we made our list. Check. And I tell you what, it does feel good to check things off of my functional list. And I think there was, I was never super defined by my work, or at least I didn't think that, but there was satisfaction in completing a project. And so now that I have my little functional list, like Dusty got pictures, I cleaned my outside lights, which like little bugs had like crawled into them. And there was almost not even any light because our light fixtures were full of bugs. And it had been like that for like a year. And when I actually took down the light and cleaned it and then put it back up, I was just filled with satisfaction. This is what my life has come to. And I'm so happy about that.
They're very bright now.
Yeah. They're so bright. It's a safety hazard. But it was on my list, clean outside lights. And then I cleaned them and I got to check it off the list. And yeah, I don't know. That made me feel good. And it also made sure I was doing something. And that was actually advice from a friend of mine that she was like, try to think about what you're going to accomplish for the day. Because if you don't, she's like, the days just disappear.
The day will accomplish you.
Ooh, put that on a shirt. But I have experienced a little bit of that. Even though I don't want to be overly scheduled, I kind of don't want too many days to go by where I just don't do anything. So, yes.
And we had a question from the last episode from the Facebook group, which we'll link up to if people want to join it. And someone asked about like being productive. And there's always stuff to do around the house, or if you have rental properties, there's always stuff to do mm-hmm. with a rental home. And there's just things you have to do as an adult. And don't worry, like there's plenty to do. Get that license renewed on time. Everybody check your license. You never know when it's going to expire. So.
Typically on your birthday.
Here in Colorado, apparently. I don't know.
In Michigan, too. Huh?
Really? Must be. I don't know. It's been a while. I know my passport's expiring in like 3 years.
Year?
I thought it was 3 years.
See, well, we don't even know. Yeah. Oh.
All right. This is great. So we have three very solid. So you potentially plan a trip. You make a fun list. You make a not fun list, or an upgraded name would be a functional list, a to-do list. Dusty, any other strong, actionable things?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Oh, and if you find that you're struggling, I will reach out to, you know, to friends to just say like, hey, can I share what I've done today? Because I really need to share this with someone. I need some outside accolades to be like, yep, I did grown-up stuff today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, celebrate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know we've actually all gone on some hikes recently, and it does coincide with the time of year around here. Is there anything around like either fitness or being outdoors or anything like that? Yes.
I'm going to show my age here because I actually put this on my little list while I was brainstorming, and I put ease into it physically. I mean, I'm getting older. I don't recover as quickly as I used to. And I've actually had to pull myself back a few times now that I have all this free time and I want to do all the hikes. I don't remember who asked. No, I'm not going to start running. That's just not going to be my thing. But yeah, I guess just ease into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is very tempting. It's very tempting to just want to do everything.
Overdo it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you have way more time to play, which is really fun. So instead of running on the Greenway where I would normally run, I can drive to Boulder and I can trail run. Sign me up.
Yeah. All right. Anything in the fitness area for you that you're, I mean, you run a lot, which we've talked about in previous episodes, but yeah, anything else that's new for you?
I just started biking. Well, I shouldn't say just, but since getting back from my trip, I have spent a lot more time on my gravel bike, which is kind of fun. Like I did 30 miles this morning. So you just have more time. Like you have a lot more time than you can play.
All right. Well, we hit some big ones, but I asked you both if you had any like sort of quick hit, maybe even some obvious ones. We don't have to belabor it, but we could just kind of run through if you want to mention a couple, Elizabeth.
Don't drink too much.
Okay.
Good I mean, tip. Unless you want to, but... I've heard that from several other folks that have retired that like the first month they're just like laying in the hammock with a beer at noon. And I did some of that in my first month or so. And I've pulled back on it.
Good tip.
It's okay if you don't sleep in. There is no requirement to stay in bed until 10. You can get up at 6 or 7 or super early. And you might even want to get up earlier.
And I'll throw one in. You could take naps, too. Because if you're like, hey, I want to enjoy the morning, but then maybe you have a pretty healthy lunch like I did, and I'm getting a little sleepy, maybe a nap is in order. It's really warm outside, too. So, okay, those are great.
Have your unproductive days. Like, take a down day.
Sit around.
This is such a great community up here. I think Dusty mentioned there's something going on almost every day. You don't have to do everything.
And then I'm just going to go back to this can look however you want it to. So give yourself grace. Don't judge yourself for how you think it should be or if it's going well or if it's not going well. It can be whatever you want it to be.
I don't want to follow up on that. That's perfect.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll sully it a little bit, I guess. I would say a lot of people are like, I want to fill in the hobby, right? It could be, I want to start biking more. I want to play an instrument. Like, you can give it a shot. You could sign up for lessons or whatever, but it's also okay if you're like, you know what? I don't like that fucking instrument, or it's just not working for me and I'm not having fun, and you could stop doing it. And it encourages you to test things out, or maybe someone wants to write a novel and they walk up to the coffee shop and they write and they're like, I'm not really enjoying this. So maybe they want to, you know, do something else instead. So just test stuff, give it some time, quit things, quit a lot of things. Like the more things you quit, the more time you have for the things that, like, that you actually enjoy.
So your advice is be a quitter?
Quitter. Yeah. It's one of the best things you could do. If you don't quit stuff, then you're just doing a bunch of shit that you don't like.
Nothing to add to that.
All right. Okay. And any others? I'll ask any other big tips? No. Okay. This has been pretty awesome. It's cool to check in after 2 months or so. And I would love it if people left comments on the YouTube video. If you have questions out there, definitely check out the Facebook group, which I'll link up to, because probably in another couple months or another few months, I'll ask for more questions, more updates, and we'll sit and talk about it again after you both are a little more experienced with not working. So, Dusty, can people find you anywhere? Are you available? And feel free not to share anything. But if you want people to find you, where could they?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, or Strava. On Facebook and Strava, I'm Dusty Nicole. And on Instagram, I'm Dustina Louise.
What about you, Elizabeth? Where can people find you?
They can find you.
Okay.
Or I think last time we said they can find Mindy, who will find Carl, who will find you.
Yeah, and I think... we actually simplified it, and then Mindy just contacts you directly.
That's true.
So it takes and Carl out of the loop.
But I did appreciate the comments on the last one, and I think I set up a YouTube channel so I could reply to comments while still protecting my anonymity, or at least I think I did. But I did appreciate all the nice comments, especially the ones that were poking fun at Doug a little bit.
Yeah, we all like those.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, thanks, ladies, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week.
Sandy and I went down to the Chalk Art Festival, which was neat. It was right at the beginning, so there wasn't a lot of chalk art completed yet, but they were working on it. And there was a booth for a 3-night trip to Breckenridge for $100, but you have to do a timeshare.
Sit and listen to them.
Yeah. So we both signed up. But like before we signed up, this is what's great. Like we both were just like, should we do this? And I was like, let me call Doug. So I called Doug, and I think it was also awesome because like he surprised me, you know, and we've been together for almost 17 years. And I think it was hilarious that he still surprised me. So I call and I'm like, all right, here's the situation, Doug. Like, what do you think? And I think he was like, bring it on. Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Like he was 100% in, and he's seeing this as like a personal challenge to sit through this timeshare presentation and to just keep telling them no. And I totally did not expect that reaction, but he was just like, yep, I'm in. Let's do it.
It sounds super fun. Yeah. Have you done any timeshare stuff before? You have any experience? No,
but now I want to, if it means I can get 3 nights in Breckenridge for $100.
Right. And I've called them and I'm like, you know, the eternal skeptic or whatever, like, where's the catch? And so I like called him. I've been talking to him. Like, I mean, I don't think this place might not be super nice because we're not staying at the actual timeshare place. It's just like a hotel in Breckenridge. So the place might not be super nice, but I think it's going to be good enough. And so, yeah, now Doug has gone down this like rabbit hole of like, this becomes our new vacation philosophy as we just like travel around and do these timeshare presentations. We have a reputation.
Yeah, we're going to get blacklisted. They're like, don't let these people in. They're time wasters. My parents got a timeshare when they were fairly young, probably in their late 20s, something like that. And that was like a primary vacation thing. So I've seen them go through it. And I mean, eventually everyone's just like, how can I get rid of this thing? And everyone says like, don't buy a timeshare, but obviously they have really good sales and marketing. Is that the reputation you're aware of?
I definitely have that reputation where it's like, oh, you don't want this, but maybe you kind of sort of do. And then people get roped in and then.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And sometimes this is going to be hard for me, I think, because I'm definitely going to let Doug be like bad cop. And sometimes I feel like he can be a little aggressive or mean. I'll just say mean. But like sometimes his forwardness, like, is, I find it to be off-putting, but I think it's going to be kind of fun to just be there and like have him just be like, no. And I'm like, ah.
And a couple. So
yeah.
One thing.
He just said, no, this is the boss.
For the marketing, the marketing perspective. And then we're going to do the switcheroo. And they're like, wait, they switched good and bad cop. I don't even know like what's happening.
Yeah.
Now you're saying no, but you're saying yes.
I'll be like, well, maybe.
I was trying to think of something clever that you could put on t-shirts to wear to every sales pitch.
And they, I mean, they do these all over the place. And like my sister and brother-in-law, they got one in Hawaii. Like we know multiple people who they got roped in for one in Hawaii. But the thing is, like, there are certain sales techniques and marketing techniques. And there's a great book, which might, I don't know if it's on this shelf, but it's back there. It's called Influence by Robert Cialdini. And it's like one of the most popular marketing books. And basically it goes through the, I think there's about six different main, maybe seven techniques that they will use for sales. And at the end, it talks about how to like combat those things. And like when you observe it, then the pressure is relieved. It's like when you understand what they're doing, it shouldn't be a big deal. So I'm excited to see. And, you know, a quick example, they'll ask like, what's holding you back, basically. And if you give a reason, then they will tell you why you're wrong and give you all these alternatives. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give a reason, they have nothing to answer that objective or objection with. Mm-hmm. So that, like, that's just a simple one that I happen to remember. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And if it works out, there are timeshares all over the place.